Well, we're excited because we have a guest in studio in our first hour, and that doesn't happen very often. We're always pleased to have somebody in studio with us. And this is kind of it's a different topic for us. I think it's going to be an exciting one, too, and we're going to have the opportunity for you to join in our conversation as well. We have joining us in studio David Grand. David is by profession a psychotherapist. He's in private practice on Long Island. He is trained in a procedure known by the acronym EMDR. That stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing. That sounds pretty complex. We'll try and break that down some. He is trained in that procedure and as a facilitator. David, first of all, it's nice to have you join us.
Thank you very much.
Even at this early hour on a Sunday morning. Now, let me ask you, I always like to establish a little bit of background for folks who are listening to us. A psychotherapist is just what? How would you explain the profession?
Well, a psychotherapist is someone who works in either counseling or mental health. Usually it's from the three main professions of psychiatry, psychology, or clinical social work. There are other people, clinical nurse specialists and clergy, as well as some others who do this work. New York State does not have a regulation for the term psychotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
These specific disciplines are regulated, but so psychotherapy is somewhat of an open term and an open practice.
Okay, how long have you been in practice?
Well, I received my degree in 1976, and I've been in full-time private practice since 1980.
Mm. Like the field?
Yes, it's interesting. I sort of get a window into many different lives, and you find out a lot of things that go on that just a general person would never know about.
Okay, now, I got to ask you about this EMDR term. I'm curious as to when you first heard about this, and what's the history behind this? How was this developed?
Well, it's a method that was developed in the late 80s in California by a psychologist who was actually originally from New York.
Mm-hmm.
And she discovered as she was walking her dog that she was having distressing thoughts, and then all of a sudden the negative emotions that went along with these thoughts just disappeared. So she retraced her steps and sort of realized that her eyes had been darting back and forth. And she wondered, being a research-oriented person, if this was a way to really address some of the negative affect or emotions that go along with trauma or distress and so on. So she brought up some more things that were bothering her and moved her eyes back and forth, and she found that that the negative emotions just eased off and went away.
It was that simple?
It was that simple, yeah.
All right. Now, it sounds simple, and I mean, you were fortunate and nice enough to help me out in preparing for this discussion by providing me with a wealth of information and research on this topic. How long ago was this that she came up with this?
This was in 1987.
Okay.
So it's a really
relatively new.
It's a very new practice, yes.
And how is this being used?
Well, it's used in many different ways. The primary way that it's used is in relation to trauma, emotional trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. Also, many people have been traumatized in childhood, mentally, physically, or sexually abused. It's also used with performance enhancement in relation to performers and athletes dealing with performance anxiety and performance enhancement, really helping a person to believe that they can do what they really can do.
Mm. And you yourself, in terms of training in this field, how did that take place?
Well, I've been doing psychotherapy for a long time. I was trained in EMDR about 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We went for level one training, which was a full weekend of didactic learning as well as a practicum where you get a chance to both be the therapist and be the client. And then I went back 6 months later for level two training, which was another intensive weekend. In between, I did a lot of practice. And then a year later, I went to be trained as what we call a facilitator, one who teaches the method of EMDR during the trainings.
Hmm. And I'm curious, what was your reaction when you first heard about EMDR?
Well, I was curious, but it sounded very gimmicky or techniquey. And I come from a very traditional background. I've been trained as a psychodynamic therapist. So,
I hate to interrupt you, but what exactly does that mean for the layperson?
Psychodynamic means is that you look inside, you look back to the person's history, you work with insight, sort of understanding that mental processes come from the unconscious part of a person's mind, as opposed to a behaviorist who looks more just at what a person does or what they think. So it's really going back to a history. But EMDR was very much a departure for me. But something about it just drew me to it. During the training, the level one training, it was interesting. But once they got to the practicum part, I chose to do a memory, and I got insights into it that many years of my own therapy and analysis had not been able to accomplish for me. At that point, I really knew there was something to it.
Hmm. Is it natural for people to be skeptical at the start with this? Do you run into that a lot?
I think it's not only natural, it's appropriate. For me to tell somebody that I'm going to have them move their eyes back and forth, or I'm going to tap their hands, and that they're going to get over the trauma from an accident or a mugging or something, that I can have them leave in an extended session with their post-traumatic stress disorder completely resolved, they should be skeptical.
Hmm. Okay. Now, how exactly does this work in practice?
Well, Dr. Shapiro, Francine Shapiro, who developed this, who discovered it, also developed a protocol. What you do is you have a person hold in mind the image of the trauma, as well as some negative, distorted thoughts that they have from it, such as, I was responsible, mm-hmm. or I am totally helpless. At the same time as holding their emotions and wherever they feel those emotions in their body together. And as you do this, you move your fingers back and forth. I have a light bar that I use where a person tracks their eyes back and forth. And basically a person free associates from that point, and wherever their mind goes, they go. It really is activating processes in the brain thoughts going down neural pathways. It just is phenomenal in terms of helping people to come to the realization that they're no longer in danger, that they weren't responsible, and to rid themselves of the anxiety and other negative emotions that go along with trauma.
Okay, now you mentioned a couple of different terms that I think we should talk about a little bit too, because it seems there may be some common feelings going into this on the part of the people that you're talking about dealing with. You mentioned blame,
mm-hmm.
anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Are there common things?
Yes. Any time a person's been traumatized, they will often feel a sense of responsibility, which has nothing to do with
mm-hmm.
it. Let's say if a person was in an accident that they had no cause for. A sense of helplessness also goes along with it, or total vulnerability. Someone who's been in a car accident or someone who's been mugged is always looking over their shoulder expecting that it's going to happen again. So there's this sense of, even though there's no more chance of it happening than there was before it happened, the person has this belief. It's actually a certain area of the brain is reacting as if the trauma is still happening or just about to happen again, even though the rest of the person's brain knows that there's no more likelihood of it. What EMDR does is it helps the part of the brain that really is able to think rationally to inform that area of the brain that they're safe now, that it's over, and that there's no more chance of anything happening than there was before.
And I have to ask this question because of the society that we're in, we're so time-based anymore. What are we talking about in terms of length of treatment, the procedure here?
Well, it really depends on the condition. But if someone really has a discrete or a number of discrete traumas, particularly in adulthood, such as we're saying, natural disasters, mm-hmm. So on, one or two extended sessions is often enough. With more long-term situations, if someone has a childhood trauma where the trauma has really gotten infiltrated throughout the brain much more deeply, you're looking at a more protracted situation. Although what might be a 2 to 5 year therapy could be perhaps a 2 to 6 month therapy. So it really telescopes down the amount of time that it takes to treat these conditions. And what's amazing is once the condition is resolved, it's as if it was not in the brain before. And people oftentimes don't even realize how profound the change is. It's like when you have a pain and then the pain is gone, there's a sense of, well, that wasn't so bad when you're no longer feeling the pain. For the psychological aspect of it, the same is true. People don't realize with EMDR, once the psychic pain is gone, how much they were suffering because they're free of it.
And there's no physical pain associated with it.
No, although many people who have emotional conditions have physical manifestations that come along with it, headaches, stomach aches, and so on. EMDR is very effective with that as well, because we work not only with the emotion but the body sensation. A lot of our trauma gets expressed through the body.
Okay. By the way, we're talking this Sunday morning on WFAN in New York with David Grand. He is a psychotherapist in private practice on Long Island. We're talking about EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. We're talking with him. I should mention the fact that in the course of our discussion, we can work in some folks who have thoughts and comments related to what we're talking about, and there are more things I want to get into as well with David. But our number here at WFAN, as always, is 718-937-6666. That's our phone number. In just a moment, we'll give you a number, too, for David's office and also for the EMDR Institute. Now, the Institute is based in California?
Yes.
You told me
it's in, well, the main offices are in Northern California,
okay.
And of course, that's where this came from. It's interesting. EMDR is very widespread and well accepted in California and in the Western states. The Eastern states, not only has the general population not heard about EMDR for the most part, but many psychotherapists haven't heard of EMDR, which I think is particularly, I'd say, appalling, because it is so effective with certain conditions, especially post-traumatic stress disorder, that there's no need for a person to be walking around with this condition. And if a therapist who works with the general population or who works specifically with trauma is not aware of it, then they can't be helping people as well as they might be.
Okay. Now, you mentioned post-traumatic stress disorder a couple of times, and I'm curious about how often or how much EMDR might be used in the approach of treating them.
Every time. Basically, I've worked with really hundreds of people with post-traumatic stress disorder. One of the more dramatic cases that I've worked with was a Long Island Railroad employee. There was an article that appeared in Newsday earlier in the year, who for 21 years had been an engineer and had not had any fatal or serious accident, and then in the last 6 years had six accidents or fatalities, none of which were his responsibility. Again, a train engineer is strapped onto a piece of metal which is thousands of pounds hurtling down a track. And if somebody jumps in front of the train, if someone suicides or if someone is under the influence of drugs or alcohol, there's nothing they can do to stop it. However, engineers are exposed to people being killed all the time, and oftentimes come away with post-traumatic stress disorder. This one particular engineer, out of these six accidents, had chronic post-traumatic stress disorder. He could sleep for 8 hours and feel like he didn't sleep one wink. He had constant knots and churning in his stomach. He had the belief that he was responsible, that he was a terrible person, that he was a murderer. And what happened was I saw him for one extended session. It was approximately 3 hours. He walked out of that session feeling like he was not responsible. His post-traumatic stress disorder was essentially resolved.
In one session?
In one extended session, yes.
Okay. All right, tell you what, we're going to try and squeeze in a quick call here before our 2020 sports update. We head out to East Meadow. It's Betty this morning. Betty, good morning. Welcome to the Fan.
Good morning.
How can we help you?
I just happened to turn on the radio and was listening about the EMDR.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm up this early is because I have had this back spasm for 2 weeks, and I have turned probably what is an emotional stress into physical pain, as you mentioned earlier. And I was just curious as to who I could contact or perhaps even try it myself with this. I heard with the moving the eyes back and forth. I can take pain medicine, and I'm at my wit's end with the pain. So,
What is the emotional stress which has triggered this?
Well, my son has been in a detox and rehabilitation center for the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So that pretty much did me in.
Right.
Well, EMDR is something that's sort of hard to do on your own. You really need to be guided by a professional who's trained in this.
Uh-huh.
You certainly could come in and speak with me. You can speak with me on the phone or come to my office if you want.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you mention the phone number?
Okay. My office number is 516-785-0460. Also, for anybody who wants to get a referral for an EMDR therapist through the Institute in California, you can call out to 408-372-3900. EMDR would, there's never a guarantee, but EMDR would likely help with your situation. It sounds like a lot of your stress and anxiety is locked up in your back. And in some ways, it's as painful as it may be to experience something physically, it may be more comfortable to feel it through the physical route than the emotional route, or at least somehow a part of our mind believes that, and that's
right.
One of the reasons why it gets channeled out through the body.
Right.
Okay, it sounds like Betty probably should speak to you off the air, because it sounds like this is a, unfortunately a little bit more involved situation than we can get into.
Well, right. I'm just happy that I've turned on the radio and I heard about this, so I will inquire.
Okay.
Thank you.
Betty, thank you. Certainly.
Thank you.
Good luck, as a matter of fact, too. I hate to cut her off, but we're, again, always, as always, running late here for our 2020s. We'll mention both those phone numbers again in the course of our discussion. We're talking with David Grand. He's a psychotherapist in private practice on Long Island. We're talking about EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. So hard. Well, let's see. We're talking with David Grand. He is a psychotherapist in private practice. We're talking about EMDR, eye movement desensitization. I knew I was going to blow it at some point. Knew it, Dove. I knew it was going to happen. Eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. It is a procedure that he is discussing with us this Sunday morning on WFAN in New York. And we're taking some of your calls as well at 718-937-6666. More things I want to get into with you, David, but let's get back to the phones here. I believe this is Sue in Metuchen, New Jersey, has been holding for some time. Thanks for holding on. Welcome to the fan.
Hi there.
Good morning.
A relative of mine has recently had brain surgery. Her physical recovery has gone fine, but there seems to be problems in the non-physical area. She's dealing with depression, anxiety, feelings of responsibility over what was completely nothing that she could have helped. And everything you're talking about this morning links up with some of the complications she's dealing with. And I'm wondering, I guess, would something like brain surgery constitute a trauma, and that this could possibly help it?
If brain surgery isn't a trauma, I don't know what is.
Well, true.
Now, in a situation like this, it's very important with any psychotherapist, but particularly with EMDR, for us to know for sure that something is not being caused by physiological basis. So she really, you know, a therapist would have to get some kind of clearance in terms of the fact that this was not, that the depression or anxiety was not coming from something physical. However, I have worked with people who have had all kinds of physical traumas. In fact, just to digress for a minute, I'll get back to this. Athletes oftentimes coming back from an injury will have tremendous problems, and EMDR can be very effective in terms of helping them overcome their fears and so on. In this situation, it well could be a post-traumatic stress disorder. I would advise you to, if you want to get a referral, I know there's some excellent EMDR therapists in New Jersey.
Okay.
To call the EMDR Institute. Again, the number there is 408-372-3900. And, you know, you can say that you heard about EMDR from myself on this show, and they will gladly give you a referral.
Thank you.
Alrighty, thank you very much, Sue, for the call this morning. Let's see. Let's stay on the phones here. We're going to Richard in the city. Richard, thanks for calling. Welcome to the fan.
Yes, thank you. My question is, I'd like to know what independent evidence, if any, there is to support the claims of success that you've been making about this method of treatment.
Okay. We have had a lot of research done. In fact, there's been more research done regarding the treatment of the use of EMDR with post-traumatic stress disorder than with any other treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder. As anything else that is new and different, EMDR is controversial. But not only have we had a very powerful research demonstrating the effectiveness of EMDR, in December, coming out in the most prestigious psychology research journal will be a much more extensive research study which further proves that EMDR is effective. I can say this does not qualify as research, but from my own experience of working with hundreds of clients with trauma and other issues, that I've seen effects from EMDR of a positive and quick and deep nature that I've never seen with any other treatment before. But, of course, anecdotal research doesn't really stand up, but we have the clinical research to back us up.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for the call this morning, Richard, as a matter of fact. Let's see. Let's do one more here before we get back into a couple of things, because I want to talk about things like the performance enhancement aspect of this that you mentioned, because it raises some interesting questions. We go to Patricia. Is this Fairfield, New Jersey, or Connecticut?
Connecticut.
Connecticut. Good morning. Welcome to the fan.
Good morning. I'm a therapist in Connecticut, and I was wondering when I heard that you are a facilitator and when you would be providing some workshops for therapists.
Okay. I don't provide the workshops. The trainings are done by the EMDR Institute, and they're done throughout the country. In fact, we have trainings throughout the world. For someone who has no training in EMDR, they would go for a level one training.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the number that I gave for the Institute, they'll be able to send you out a brochure for it. But what I do is I supervise therapists who have been trained in EMDR. As an advanced practitioner and facilitator, I supervise people, but the training is only done by the Institute. They like to keep it that way, and they really should, because it's a very specialized practice.
Do they provide it in Connecticut? Do they provide it in all states, or does one have to go out there?
It is provided. We have them in New York. They have been done in Connecticut, Boston, and so on. People often will fly to different areas or drive to different areas,
mm-hmm.
But actually, I'm going to be facilitating at a level two training in New York in the middle of November. But we had a level one back in October. But they'll be coming around soon. So if you're interested, you'll certainly be able to attend the training.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call this morning, Patricia. I think there's a call along the same lines. If I'm correct, we go to John in Farmingdale. John, good morning. Welcome to the fan.
Hi. How are you?
How are you?
My question was pretty much answered, but I missed the end of that call. Did you say that to go for training, you would have to go out to this institute in California? Because I'm studying to be a psychologist over at Dowling College, and this sounds very interesting to me. You would, A, have to get your certification as a psychologist first, I assume, right?
Yes. They only train people who are licensed in their particular states as appropriate psychotherapists. However, as I explained, the trainings are done around the country. In fact, we've had trainings in Australia, in South America, all over Europe. And there are trainings in New York, Boston, Philadelphia, Washington. So you call it to the Institute, and they'll tell you when the next one that you can attend will be.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Good luck with your studies as well. Let's do one more here. We head to Massapequa, and Ann is on the phone. Ann, thanks for calling in this morning. Welcome
Hi.
To the fan.
Hi. I was wondering if there's been any long-term studies done to see if people still are symptom-free, say, a year or so after they've had this treatment.
Well, those studies are underway, again, as you know, because EMDR is a new science, and it's sort of a science and an art. Long-term studies are being done. We have the preliminary results indicate that...
that was easy for you to say, right?
I wish it was. An hour later, I would have gotten it. The preliminary results indicate that it does hold. In fact, again, through my own experience, I've seen people who have come back to me a year later and really have held on to the gains that they made through EMDR, in a way that I've never seen with people in therapy before.
Good. Thank you.
All right, Ann, thank you for your call this morning. 718-937-6666 is our phone number here at WFAN in New York. We're talking with David Grand. He is a psychotherapist in private practice on Long Island. He is EMDR trained and trained as an EMDR facilitator as well. EMDR standing for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing. That's what we're talking about with him. We should mention your office number on the island is 516-785-0460. You could answer people's questions if they have them on this. Also, the EMDR Institute number you've mentioned a couple of times that's based in Northern California is area code 408-372-3900. I got
correct.
That right. Okay, all right. We'll mention them again before we are done as well. Now, we talked a little bit, you've mentioned a couple of different times about the idea of performance enhancement. All right. Now, I think automatically of athletes, and I think of people in the acting profession, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What can this do for them?
Well, one of the problems that people have is really not being able to really believe that they have the abilities that they do. I mean, this goes into business. It goes into every walk of life. But particularly for performers, people in the public eye, such as athletes and performing artists, actors, et cetera, stage fright is pervasive. Some of the most successful performers still suffer from it. What EMDR does, as it does in relation to trauma, it helps to clarify the distortions, and it helps a person to realize what their abilities are, in fact, also what their abilities are not.
Mm-hmm.
EMDR cannot get a person to believe something that isn't true, because the brain knows what is and isn't true. You cannot get a person who's a high school average runner to believe he can beat Carl Lewis in a 100-yard dash. But I have used it with people in the entertainment industry and people in sports, and have helped them to be able to really improve their performance to the extent that their performance is inhibited by anxiety or problems with self-esteem or, you know, belief in their own abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked with one particular concert violinist who, although being technically excellent, really had a lot of sense that for other reasons that she wasn't as good as she really was.
Hmm.
And with the EMDR was able to remove those concerns and let her play to the level that she was able to. To give some examples of sports, we have Kirby Puckett, who was beamed not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not unusual for an athlete who's been beamed to have trouble stepping up to the plate, because, again, that's a trauma, and their belief is that they're going to get hit again, just like the person in a car accident has
mm-hmm.
that belief.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hopefully Kirby Puckett will be able to overcome that on his own, as many people do after having traumatic events. But oftentimes an athlete will not be able to get over that, and that's where EMDR can really have its effect to help a person. The part of their brain that is believing that it's still happening or just about to happen again can be informed by the rest of their brain, which is to say, it's over now, you're
mm-hmm.
safe now,
mm-hmm.
you got up to the plate before,
mm-hmm.
and there's no reason why you can't do it again.
Mm. Okay, see if we can do one quick call here before our 2020. We head to Dave. Dave, where in Connecticut are you?
In Fairfield County.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the fan.
Yeah, Doctor, I've just tuned in. I haven't caught up on everything, but I was wondering how somebody that had been child abused and is suffering from that now, where the effects are really coming out, how this kind of treatment can help them. And if the treatment involves a lot of talking and questioning, or how it does work.
Okay, I'm going to let you actually listen to this response on the air. Thank you for your call this morning, Dave.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned, does a person have to talk about it a lot? Of course, talking is important. But one of the interesting things with EMDR is that a person doesn't have to talk about everything to the therapist. A lot of times a person will have a situation, they'll just say, you know, I just don't feel like talking about it. As long as they're thinking it and processing it within themselves, that's usually enough. But to get to your point, EMDR is very effective in dealing with people who've been abused as children, especially in dealing with their negative beliefs. A person who's been abused as a child will always feel that there's something wrong with them, that somehow it was done to them because they deserved it,
mm-hmm.
And will really carry with them this negative sense throughout their lives. What EMDR can really help a person to do is to recognize that the abuser was the one who was the sick one, and that they did it for their own sick reasons that had nothing to do with themselves. You see, oftentimes we'll help a person to have their adult self talk to their child self, and a child's mind is not able to understand that abuse is not their responsibility. An adult's mind is able to recognize that. And with EMDR, we can sort of have the adult mind inform the child's mind and help them to see that really there was nothing they could have done, and that they were victimized, and that if they won't take care of themselves, then who will?
Mm. David Grand is who we're talking with. He is a psychotherapist in private practice on Long Island. We're talking with him about EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. We'll talk more with David Grand in just a moment. We're going to pause here for our 2020 sports update. We'll take some of your calls, too. 718-9-